With the deadline closing in, Greece asks for an extension, but Germany is not interested. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, Greece put on the table a proposal that embraced its debt obligations but asked European partners for a six-month extension on terms of the EU's financial lifeline. Germany saw Greece's letter and promptly rejected it, saying there can be no conditions placed on the original bailout. Yet, negotiations are not over, and the key index on the Athens Stock Exchange was up about 1% by mid-morning Eastern time. Economist Elena Panaritis is advising the Greek government in these negotiations. She's also a former member of the Greek Parliament.
It raises the chances of actually moving forward with the least possible friction so that we can present a very serious level of reform, structural reforms that have not yet been completed and need to be completed for the development and productive reform of the Greek economy.
One of the big financial companies, you may have seen this, Commerzbank, earlier this week put the chances that Greece would have to leave the euro at 50-50. Is that in line with your thinking?
Well, there have been a lot of bets out there, and there's always a bet like that when negotiations happen. But as the conversations and negotiations went on, it became very clear that there is only one goal for the Greek government, and that goal is to remain in the euro and to keep on with specific changes in the productive model of Greece that will allow for Greece to grow. You see, the last 5 years, David, we have simply not grown at all. And instead, we have reduced our GDP by 25%. Reducing very much the ability of the Greek individual. We need to really concentrate on the actual structural reforms that will simplify the way of doing business and make an environment which is rather predictable and will be able to attract a lot of investors.
Economist Elena Panaritis, we caught her in Brussels this morning where she's advising the Greek government in these negotiations. Ms. Panaritis, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
While Europe and the wider financial system have been doing some planning in case Greece were forced off of the euro, it's the kind of uncertainty that could unsettle global markets. This is among the factors that U.S. policymakers have to include when deciding when to raise interest rates. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago.
The most important issue to the Federal Reserve is, of course, is the economy healthy enough and hot enough to raise interest rates? And what we're finding is not only the winter chill is out there chilling the economy once again this year as it did last year and delaying a lot of economic activity. Also, inflation is a little too cold for the Fed's liking. And so we're going to see those two things come together to delay liftoff on rates for the Federal Reserve. They want to make sure this economy is really cooking before they really take off and raise interest rates. And we're getting closer, but we're not there yet. And this winter has yet again been another factor delaying everything, much like it did last winter.
Now to combating racism and promoting diversity in the big business of sports. Kenneth Shropshire, Wharton Business School professor and director of the Wharton Sports Business Initiative, has a new book called Sport Matters, Leadership, Power, and the Quest for Respect in Sports. When Professor Shropshire and I last spoke, it was during the heat of the Donald Sterling affair, the racist statements by the then owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, one of the conclusions of the new book, don't just count the number of players from diverse backgrounds. Take a hard look at the ownership of sports teams.
The number of African-American quarterbacks playing in the NFL, for example, in the 80s, 90s, I could tell you exactly how many there are. Now, it's such a common occurrence, I and others don't keep track of those numbers anymore. But when you think about the ownership levels, when you think about the team presidents, the numbers have remained pretty much the same since the last time I looked at this, pretty closely in the mid-90s.
There's been efforts in this regard. There's certainly people from diverse backgrounds who own teams, but the percentage is not high.
Now we see franchises going for, you know, $2 billion, and just the economic circumstances of the world don't have, particularly African Americans and other people of color, to have that amount of wealth amassed to purchase teams. So that leans even more to the need for those who are in ownership to find ways to include diverse leadership. Is there a way to be more focused on understanding if you don't have diverse people in the rooms, you're likely to make the kinds of mistakes that are made?
Yeah, I remember during the heat of the Donald Sterling affair, you were the one who told our audience that in addition to the issue of racism that was on the table here. There was another one that the media was missing. There was also an issue of how the woman at the center of the story was being treated and thought about.
You see this across some of the big issues that have occurred in sport, and that is the gender issue. Within league offices, with this domestic violence issue, the way that leagues have moved positively and rapidly to bring women and domestic violence experts into the decision-making wings with this kind of horrific year of events that's occurred, part of the positive that's occurring is this understanding of the need for inclusion across the board.
Kenneth Shropshire is director of the Sports Business Initiative at Wharton. The title of the new book is Sport Matters, Leadership, Power, and the Quest for Respect in Sports. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
As we've been reporting, Walmart today promised raises to about 40% of its workers, 500,000 people or so. Profits for last quarter beat expectations, but some investors thought Walmart is sounding a bit cautious about the road ahead, and the stock fell nearly 3% in early trading. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.